Don't let someone steal your great idea. Register a domain name now and put your idea online. GoDaddy is offering one new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Whether you're building your dream business or starting a website for fun, visit GoDaddy.com and enter WWC295 at checkout. It's go time. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Again, the code is WWC295. Get it? Because it's like watch what crappens, 295, because it's $2.95 for whatever you're going to buy. Well, it has to be a new .com or
transfer. Oh, I just got that. I'm glad you explained
that
it.
So original. Why don't you just start a website about how original that deal is? So everyone, GoDaddy.com, WWC295, and you get a new or transfer.com for the low price of $2.95. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. It's when there's so much that happens. Watch what happens. Oh, well, watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens? Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com, and I'm joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Benjamin Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How are you today?
You know, I'm much better now that I hear your glorious voice over there on the other side of the world.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I'm so glad I could bring that happiness and joy into your life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you can find Ben at bsideblog.com or on any social media network at bsideblog.
Yeah,
myself, Ronnie Care, or me, I guess would be the proper usage. I've been watching way too much Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitter at Ronnie Karam or my website at Trash Tweet TV for fresh recap updates. Or you can find me on Tumblr at Trash Talk TV Recaps. Or, I mean, really, who cares where else?
As long as you go to TrashTalkTV.com, you can find out where he is on all his social media networks because I'm sure there are links there.
Yeah, so that's a good point. I'm doing Survivor in 2 minutes videos. My last one is tonight, and it's going to be a 3-hour episode. So I'm really excited about that. I've been dreading it all week.
Oh,
it's like homework when you don't do your homework, and you're like, oh. Yeah. But I haven't missed my homework because it's tonight. So wish me luck and hope I don't kill myself.
I'm so sorry because it's such a great season, and I'm sorry that going into this finale, there's a element of dread in it for you because there's nothing but excitement and glory.
I am excited. It has been such a fun season, but that is a lot to do in 2 minutes, 3 hours. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. So I'll worry about that later on a non-Housewives hour. All right.
Yeah,
right now,
sure.
We're all about Bravo.
Bravo.
Okay, so Ben, let's talk about some gossip. Do you have any?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I don't know if I have any Bravo gossip. I can tell you that, like, I know who hooked up with who this weekend. No. I don't know any Bravo gossip. What gossip do you know?
Why I don't think there is any, really. There is new Bravo, Summer by Bravo thing, which is really stupid.
I still haven't seen it yet. You know, if you want to know gossip, you can do what I'm doing, which is going to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Watch What Crappens, and there is so much stuff on here. I'm sure some of our readers or listeners have posted some good gossip. In fact, I already see people say, have you seen this? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Read it then, because I'm on here and I don't see much. Except
Ramona is co-hosting on Bethany. Okay, whatevs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. Yeah,
that
I
was
think,
not a
I
yes
think we're
and
done
moment.
So, gossip's already done. Well, there's this thing, I think we talked about this last week, but that thing about Bravo only giving the women 8-episode contracts from now on?
Yeah.
Where they have to, did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, where they have to, basically, if they aren't playing ball, they're going to get dropped mid-season.
Yeah, I don't think that's a very good idea. I think it's going to introduce a lot of violence into the shows.
Yeah, well, it's a circus, and it always has been, and it'll just be more of a circus. More importantly is that Gretchen Christine Butte, or Gretchen Rossi, has become a ginger. Thanks to Cindy C for posting these new images of Gretchen with, like, reddish-brown hair. It doesn't look right on her, I have to say. I do not approve.
I don't approve either. And you know what? Blonde hair didn't necessarily look right on her either.
I know.
So I'm not really sure.
Draper. Catherine Draper does say she looks 100% better. So I guess we are in a little bit of a fight, Catherine.
Yeah, we're fighting. Don't call us. Stop calling us, Catherine. We're done.
You know, I went into Home Goods on Monday, and there were so many roosters. I actually took some photos and forgot to put them on the Facebook page. But it really reminded me of Gretchen.
Yeah, I saw an Abbey waiter. That's a huge gay bar here, you guys. And apparently their logo is a fleur-de-lis. Did you know that?
I don't think
I've ever really noticed that until I saw this like 6'4" muscle guy with a butt like a basketball walking down the street. And of course I stared at him because he was like Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. And I was like, wow, I read. I like to read. And so I looked at his big bubble butt, and on the back of his shirt was that glitter fleur-de-lis. And I was like, oh my God, the Abbey, Gretchen. What? And the worlds collided and my head crashed.
Isn't it sad that we have these triggers now?
They are triggers. Every time I go into Ross Dress for Less, I feel sad. I'm like, oh, poor Gretchen.
Listen, don't feel sad. Well, don't feel sad for her. She is probably roaming the aisles of many a TJ Maxx and Hobby Lobbies and who knows what, finding all sorts of trinkets for her house. And I'm sure nothing brings her more joy than that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for making it better.
Yeah, I like to look on the bright side.
Okay, so F all that BS, okay? That was a lot of non-cursing, guys. You're welcome if you're driving in the car with your children.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Married to Medicines.
Okay.
Married to Medicine. Why? Why Married to Medicine? What's going on the show, Ben?
Here's all we have to know about Married to Medicine. This is going to be simultaneously be a plug for Married to Medicine and for my Vine, because I was watching it this morning. And the things that these people say, I recorded two of them on Vine. You know, you can only, I mean, these are just two quotes out of many, many, many. These women know how to give great sound bites, even when they're not even giving sound bites. Like, this is Quad just saying, girl. I mean, I could listen to it all day long. And then she has, like, this friend who gives this shady... That's why you watch Married to Medicine, because really nothing is happening except the only big thing that happened on this episode was that there was a cancer fashion show to raise breast cancer awareness, and of course Toya did not show up in pink. She's like, I have came here every single time. I didn't know there's pink was for breast cancer. I have come here so many times to pay for cancer. How does she not know that pink stands for awareness?
Well, it's like
I never heard anything like that from the Khazar cancer.
Well,
what I should have did was wear light blue, because I like light blue, and that makes me think of pink, and pink is like breast cancer awareness.
She was wearing glitter pants that were like tan colored, and then she was wearing like a gold colored top, which doesn't match tan colored, shockingly. You'd think it would. And then she was wearing a red and black jacket.
That's just how I wear my clothes. Like, I'm sorry. That's how I do it. It's like how I pronounce Kazar, like Kazar. I'm sorry. That's just the way I pronounce it.
I'm sorry. I don't have any money to donate to breast cancer awareness because I spent it all on this book by channel. But I'm going to donate this channel book to you, okay? I'm sorry. I know this is for women who can't read, but here it is anyway. It's lots of pictures.
I just spent $20,000 of Eugene's money to buy a fire pit for the backyard, but it's also a player piano too, so it plays music and you can roast marshmallows on it. So I can't donate to cancer awareness.
I would like to give a speech though about cancer awareness. I'm sorry to all the ladies who have cancer in the boobies, because it means they don't have a way to get money from their husbands. So, bad cancer. Stop taking boobies.
What you should have did is, instead of getting breast cancer, you should have gone and bought a couch that's made of, it's made of vinyl on one side and silk on the other, and it's filled with peanuts. And
less cancer, more couches. Less cancer, more couches. I'm going to have a fashion show It's called less couch. I mean, more counsel, more couches, less cancels.
See, like, I have came here to tell you all that in my new house, what I'm going to do is have a couch that never ends. Like, it starts in the living room, and it just keeps on going along the wall into the dining room and into the kitchen and through the bathroom and through the hallway and back in the living room again. And that used up all my cancer donation money. Sorry.
I'd like to know how come we have a charities that for cancers, because being a cancer isn't a victim. It's just what time you was born.
You know what you should have did was, instead of getting cancer, what you should have did was go buy an umbrella for your dog, and maybe, you know, that would have stopped it.
Every time you say what you should have did, I start cracking up.
What you should have did was not get cancer, but you should have came here and, like, you know, if you saw like a couch or a chair, you should have bought that and then just like said, "Hey, Eugene, like I bought a chair," and then no cancer.
Oh my God, that poor woman. She's so stupid. Okay, so starting from the beginning, we started with this hair restoration. Okay, look.
Oh, yeah.
Hair restoration is not for when you're already almost completely bald. That is for when you've made your hairline's receding and you're like, oh, well, maybe I'll, you know, put a few follicles up there. That man is getting hair reforestation. Reforestation. Yeah. That is a lot of hair. There is not enough hair on the back of his head to cover the top of his head. Thoughts?
Yeah. thoughts? Yes, my thoughts are... Agreed. I think he's going to wind up looking like some strange B-movie from the 60s, like The Toupee That Ate My Soul or something like that. Like, you know, the hair on his head comes from a serial killer, and he's going to, like, wake up in the middle of the night and, like, go, like, attack Mariah.
Let's hope so. Jesus, that would be a happy ending to this sad story. She's like, baby, you need to get your hair done. I don't like looking at that hair, and it's disgusting. Excuse me, that is so rude, first of all. This man pays for everything. And he has to look at that face. It's not like you're going to do anything about your face. And then you force him to go get surgery, and he's screaming. He's not only screaming, he's screaming like, poor guy. Like, all of his manhood has leaked out all over the team.
Meanwhile, in other hair news, Lucy showed off her new weave. And it was sort of like what I like to call from the witness protection collection. It's the sort of wig you put on when you're running from the law, you know, and you got the big shades.
That's like one of those wigs on Pretty Little Liars when they're doing something undercover.
It's like,
I'm totally different now. I'm wearing a wig and it's like, you know, huge. Gigantic.
Yeah. It's like she had a really ill-advised attempt to create Amelie, you know? it just went awry.
Well, that hair is so young, and then that face. It's like if Pearl from 227 ate a lemon, got punched in the face, and then didn't drink water for like 10 years.
And then put on big goofy spectacles.
Yes. And then put on spectacles like the girl from Scooby-Doo. What's her name?
Yeah. Linda Cardellini. I don't remember what the cartoon's name was, but Linda Cardellini played her.
Yeah, so we got to see that beautiful, beautiful wig.
I do like the idea of Lucy. I do like the idea of people being like, "Hey, Lucy, what was your inspiration?" Linda Cardellini. Were we talking about Linda Cardellini last week on the podcast? I feel like I was just talking about her on some podcast.
Not this one. That must have been your other one.
Well, I didn't record it last week. I need to record it this week. I don't even have a guest. I'm so lazy. Maybe I'll call up Linda Cardellini. Hey, if anyone wants to hear what Linda Cardellini has to say about Lucy stealing her luck, come listen to the Banter Blender tomorrow. Could you imagine if I actually like tweeted her and be like, "Hey, you want to talk about your luck?"
You might as well. She probably would.
I know. Well, you know. Well, she looked. You know, I actually really liked the way she looked in Mad Men last season.
One thing that Twitter has taught me is that. Celebrities are pretty sad, especially like at the level we talk about. They'll do anything.
All right, so I'm gonna hit up Linda Cardellini and see what happens.
Okay, I'll hit up Pearl from 227.
The ghost of Pearl.
The ghost of. Don't tell me she's dead.
Oh, she died a long time ago.
No.
Hell yeah, like maybe like 99 or 2001.
I was hoping she was pulling a Golden Girls and she was actually the youngest one in the cast.
She might have been at one point. Who knows? I just remember one time she appeared on Conan and he asked her something about weed and she goes, "Oh, I love the reefer." It's a classic Conan moment from his first 5 years. Anywho.
Okay, so, can I ask you a very important question I have about Married to Medicine?
Yeah.
So there's this Quad character, okay, that we all love or whatever, because she keeps saying over and over how fabulous she is. And we're like, okay, so we believe you because you keep saying it over and over. Okay, guys, what the fuck is Quad saying ever? She doesn't even make one sentence that makes any sense.
We make
fun of Mariah for being stupid, but all Quad really does is say things. She reminds me of my pet peeve about gay guys, specifically drag queens, where they don't say anything funny. They just say it in a really gay voice, and then people laugh because they're like, ha ha, he's gay. For example, like, girl, I don't know what you're wearing, but I think that that's something. And people are like, ha ha, that drag queen, that's the guy in the dress that said that. That's hilarious. That's how I'm starting to feel about Quad. I don't even know what she's fucking saying anymore.
I am giving you magic right now. I am giving you realness right now. And if you think about it, it's like, well, that's not really that funny. I don't know, though. You know what? I have to say, that's one of my pet peeves also. But Quad, she sells it for me. I can't believe it, but she does sell it for me because nothing she says really is that funny. Every now and then, there's something funny, but I don't know.
I don't even know what she's saying, and I'm just realizing right now that I don't know what she's saying. It's like I've been tricked this whole time. So this week she had this sequence where she was trying on all these dresses, you know, like all these dresses she was going to get for free. Which was hilarious because her gay in this scene was a light-skinned black guy, and Bravo does not know how to light black people on normal shows, and they don't know how to light white people on black shows. So it was hilarious watching the light-skinned black guy. You could only see his eyes, basically. It was like one big washout.
Yeah.
So he was trying on all these different clothes. Oh, by the way, lighting people, get your shit together, okay? We coexist, so figure that out. But
didn't
anyway.
Didn't you love the way every time Quad came out of a dressing room, she just like slam open the curtains? I love that.
So she would slam the curtains open and start like, what? Like working it way too hard. And she'd be like, now this look is what I call a look of looks. And look at me how I look here. You think you've seen magic look. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? None of that even made any sense.
Hawk in the wine. It's the lace in the sneaker.
Water goes down a river, honey.
What? It's the down in the pillow. It's the strap on the flip-flop.
That's a nail on a finger, honey, and you know you heard it here first, because I'm Miss Quad. Like,
it's the twisty tie on the unopened Ethernet cable coil you just bought.
Yellow and blue make green. You ziplock that thing closed and nothing gonna come out. Quad, honey.
The Lion King, only shown for a limited amount of time. Honey.
Yeah, I'm like, huh?
No, it's advantageous.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. I don't know about her. And I'm loving her beat Mariah at her own game. I think that is so funny. Mariah doesn't even, she can't even speak anymore because Quad is already throwing fits every time she sees her.
Well, you know, I have to wonder, with this whole feud that's going on between Mariah and Quad, this feud that's a little hard for me to still grasp, like wrap my brain around, why have neither of these women stopped for a second and thought, wait a second, maybe it's this guy, what's his name, Rico?
Like,
maybe it's him. Because, you know what, honestly, when Mariah explained her side of it, it was not the most unreasonable thing in the world. Like, I can imagine saying to someone like, yeah, but if you're going to have someone, like, it should be me because I've known you the longest or whatever, blah, 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 blah.
It should be me because I had Housewives Hoedown before Watch What Crappens.
Yeah, so...
And Ronnie didn't. He's only had Watch What Crappens, so it should be me.
It's still like a childish request. Like, you shouldn't request it, but at the same time, I can imagine someone saying it almost like a joke. Like, oh, yeah, I'll give you a number, but, like, you know, if you do a launch, like, I want to be the whatever. I can see someone saying it in a way that's really maybe not tactful, but really not mean. And it sounds like this guy has actually started off a huge game of telephone between these two women.
Well, it doesn't help that Quad doesn't repeat things truthfully either, which we saw in this episode when she was telling the story about what Mariah supposedly said to her face, and none of it she had said.
Oh, about like, I am the tree, I am the root, and you are my branch.
Yes. It's like Mariah cannot even think far enough to know where a branch comes from. She just knows that it's something that looks like her mother's finger. She has no, that's all she can think. That's as far as her brain will go.
Mariah's insults basically come from whatever she saw on TV the last night. So if she saw Gladiator, the next day she's like, I will not get off my chariot and throw tomatoes with you. You know, like, tonight she watches, like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm thinking LA Law. I'm like, I will not get out of my 88 Camaro and make you turn me into Corbin Burns. I don't know.
What?
I don't know, people. I don't know. But that's it. But it's the 50-50 chance you might hear that on the show. She's like, she just watched like Top Chef the night before. She's like, you will not make a quickfire out of me before this elimination challenge.
I cannot believe you use frozen scallops. I am the deep fryer. You are the potato.
You are the Gail Simmons, and I am the Padma Lakshmi, and don't you dare ever call me Emerald.
I am Padma, and you are Billy Joel's ex-wife. Okay, so that fight, yes, that fight's really stupid. But this week it got good because, A, Mariah showed up to a charity event like 5 hours late, which was amazing because that's what she always does. And she showed up with bodyguards, which, I mean,
it's hilarious. I don't know. Kenyan Moore move.
Yeah, really stupid. And it turns out she actually needed them because Rico, the creepy gay guy from Project Runway, who was also horrible on that show, was jumping all over her and about to slap the shit out of her. So, gay guys, please. I know that sometimes we have womanly feelings, and I know that we're really close friends with women, and I know it's fun to watch shows about women and talk about what idiots they are. But gay guys, we are not allowed to hit women, okay? Yeah. We still have penises. Just because Rico takes a big one in his batuzzi does not mean he has the right to hit a woman. Okay.
Yeah, I actually thought he was really crossing the line because, you know what, if I were a woman, I would have been a little scared, to be honest.
And, you know, scared a lot of sitting on my couch, those big, giant goggle eyes coming at you. No.
Get down. I mean, a lot of times I think the women on these shows cry wolf, you know, like Kenya Moore being like, I'm calling the police. This is assault. You pulled my weave. You know, like a lot of times the women cry wolf. But in this case, you know, that's, you know, I know enough women to know that that's really not cool what he was doing. He was really getting intense.
He was going to slap the shit out of her. Now, if anyone needs to get the shit slapped out of him, it's that one because she's full of it.
Yeah.
But not by a man. Okay.
But you know what, though? But he would have only gotten like half a pinky on her before Miss Lucy would have destroyed him because, you know, she's straight up hood. Don't let the Linda Cardellini wig fool you. She is hood. From Detroit, right?
Well, she's known him since he was a kid. She probably taught him how to slap the shit out of a bitch. That's probably true. She would take him down.
I mean, all three of them are just like, just low class. Like, just, you know, an embarrassment. But, they're embarrassing too. They're embarrassing to
everybody. You know, again, like, here we are again, where every segment of society is being embarrassed, you know?
Yeah.
The gays are being embarrassed. Black women are being embarrassed. Women are being embarrassed.
Yeah.
You know, people who have fundraisers, embarrassed.
Cancer's being embarrassed.
Cancer's embarrassed. The sign and the disease.
What you should have did was not fight with her. Like, you should have gone to Dairy Queen and been like, I have came here for some ice cream.
You know why I like cancer? Because nothing rhymes with it. It's like an orange.
Yeah, nothing wrong with cancer. None of my dancer friends even realize this. Aren't you excited? It's Christmas time. Like, aren't you excited for, like, Dasher and Prancer?
So,
I guess you could just call me a good old-fashioned romancer. What I should have did was not talk about rhyming with cancer, but I should have gone skiing instead in my indoor ski slope that I built, that I had Eugene build. Hey, Eugene, let's go down the slope.
Okay,
I have to tell the listeners, I'm feeling like under the weather today. So if I'm not making any sense, because I've noticed I've said about like 35 very strange jokes so far. I mean, I had one about a fireplace that was a player piano. I made a weird joke about There was one 5 minutes ago. I don't remember what it was. It was so strange that Ronnie was like, what?
I think that being under the weather makes you self-aware because you make jokes like that every week. And they're good. They're funny. I laugh at them every week. I'm not being a bitch.
What I should do is take some NyQuil and then I wouldn't be self-aware.
Usually your jokes are so logical.
What I should have did. I should have spoken to the drug because I've been like, what will I take for being a little under the weather? And then I should have paid $50,000 of Eugene's money for it.
What I have did was I.
I cannot do that one at
what
all.
What I had did though was I had. Some frosted mini wheats, and I think that's gonna help.
Okay, while we're talking, which we aren't anymore, but I did have a good. I was so Matt Whitfield proud of myself because I did have a good segue earlier, which was now that we're talking about horrible gays, but see, it's already gone. So I'll just be a horrible gay and segue.
Let's talk with about a horrible segue gay.
So we have a new horrible gay who's Fat Urkel, and that is Heavenly's gay, who used to be Mariah's gay. So. Yeah. This gay is all worried because he said that the same thing that's happened to everybody else has happened to him.
Was that? The air conditioner broke because he was sweating.
He was. But you know what? It's hard out here for a fat pimp. I mean, could you imagine me living in Atlanta? I'm sweating in here and it's like 65 degrees outside.
That's true. That's
I think
true.
Because I'm twirling a pen and it's like exertion. You know what?
There's something about talking about horrible gays that just turns me into a horrible gay that's all super catty. So sorry, Mariah's cousin.
Well... Oh, yeah, Mariah's cousin, yeah. Yeah, Fat Sweaty Urkel. Well, I mean, who cares?
Yeah, so, that's what the body does.
God bless him. So he has problems with Mariah. But the whole Heavenly thing this week, I don't know what's happening, but I'm really enjoying Heavenly because she's just such an asshole. We open with Heavenly doing dentistry on some meth face.
Wait, can I pause you for a second? Sorry to interrupt. But I love the fact that we introduced Mariah's cousin as well. Speaking of awful, horrible gays, and I'm like, well, you know, and he sweats. Like, oh, don't say that about him. But anyway, back to the awful gay.
I'm just saying that because I am also a fat, sweaty gay. So I'm standing up for him for being gay. But I will make fun of him for wearing bifocals.
And I sweat as well, too. So anyway, yeah, you were saying about how Heavenly is being such an asshole.
So we open with Heavenly in her dentist office about to do surgery on someone. Or, ooh, I shouldn't say that when Dr. Jackie's around. About to do dentistry on somebody. So she walks in and she's like, hey, how we doing? The poor old lady jumped out of her seat.
Yeah, she did. Like, she got startled.
Good bedside manner. So then she starts going into that mouth, and those are some methy, methy teeth.
No, they weren't methy. They're just an old lady. She had to get her crowns. Meth. Not her crowns, her bridge.
Old lady meth. She's a frightening dentist. She's like the dentist from Little Shop of Horrors, but not singing. And she's proud to wear real fur. That's all I wrote down. And I love that somebody called her a polar bear.
I know. Well, what I loved about her fur was that it was clearly not fur weather. And, you know, when the guy held up the fur, I actually thought it was sort of cool. I was like, you know, that's a cool fur to wear. But the way she wore it made no sense. She wore it like some person who clearly was like, I just got a new fur and I will therefore just wear it to this event where it makes no sense. Everyone was like in warm weather clothes and she's there in her fur looking like a janky polar bear pimp. And it was like, she looked so ridiculous. She didn't look like fashion-y or luxurious.
I think she just wanted a reason to say, well, in the Bible, they're allowed to wear furs.
Yeah.
Because that's all she does anything. The only motivation she ever has is to talk about what the Bible tells her she's allowed to do and what we all have to do.
Yeah.
Which I'm beginning to love.
But I have to say, I'm with you. I'm actually enjoying Heavenly much more than Lisa Nicole, who's like, I have come to the cancer benefit because I, too, once had almost cancer.
One time, I found a lump in my breast. It was heartbreaking. My husband had to drive me to the hospital where I had a test done. I cried. Then I went to a charity event I was throwing to empower women. The letters are T-E-A-M. To ever ass mass. Mass, which is like what I found in myself. I thought I was going to die.
Oh, shut up!
I know. I don't know why she's on the show. like I don't understand how she could be the cat. Maybe like Mariah put her dug her heels into the ground and was like, "You must cast her." Oh, I'm gonna sneeze. Yeah.
Bless you. You sound sick. One time I was sick with cancer, or so I thought. It hurt. Not having cancer hurts just as much as having cancer. I survived not having cancer. I am a survivor.
What you should have did instead of surviving cancer is like you should have like not survived cancer, and then like you could have like had like a big like funeral that like Eugene could have paid for, like something like that.
But one of the leading causes of cancer is crying. So if I had had a funeral, I might have given other people almost cancer. I could not live with myself.
Well, Dan, what you should have did was like hand out little mini umbrellas, like cocktail umbrellas, and put them under your eyelids so that way you like don't cry on anything and cause cancer to happen on your feet.
Those are made with special 42 number pink, which causes cancer. Just talking about that, you might have given me cancer again. I will be doing an event this weekend where I will give a speech and cry until you donate money, only to find out later that I never had cancer, but it still hurt.
And what you should do was come to my event where I'm raising money so that I can buy a giant coffee table made from a tire.
Fucking girl is so stupid. I just want you to call and leave me messages in that voice.
I'm going to, Ronnie. I'm going to all the time.
Well, what you should have done was not answer your voicemail, but buy a giraffe with Eugene's money.
Okay, I make so...
Okay. Should we move on to another show? Is there anything else?
I don't know. I wrote down so much. Let me see.
Oh, I liked when Dr. Simone's husband was like sort of scolding his son a little bit and was like, don't you have a full plate? How'd you get onto these nuts? And then the son just like lost it. He like looked at the camera like, did you just hear that? And then he just like fell over like his head in his hands. And then he like, it was so cute, but also like really funny because I would have been doing the same thing.
The only other things I wrote was Heavenly talks like she's got cheesecake coating on her throat. And Jackie tells off fat models. Oh yeah, because all the models were like, there were like a lot of heavy models, and I wanted Jackie to like tell them off for being fat and giving themselves cancer. And then I really liked when Dr. Jackie and Simone went to lunch. She's like, what did you do today? And she's like, look at this case, Jackie. This woman, look at this mass. And she's like, oh, it looks like you've got a little something on the something. She's like, that is fibroids.
I was like, fibroids. I told her.
It's fibroids. And how excited was that lunch conversation about finding a mass? That was so funny.
I'm just happy that Bravo did not score it with dum-dum music like they did last week. Like, boom, 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 boom. Like, look at these two. Like, hey, you two stupid dummies. You two highly educated professional black women. You're such dummies talking in your medical terms. Hey.
It's like on Real Housewives of Orange County where everybody's so horrified that Heather used the word amalgam. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
This is a good segue. How about in the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Husbands Tell All, when someone used the word philosopher or philosophy, and Peter was like, there you go, big word. There we go. Like, yeah, I don't think philosophy is a big word. Or philosophize.
Good for using the big word, yo.
Yeah.
That husband special was one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen. How Bill Cosby went on that rant a few years ago and got in so much trouble, like lecturing black men?
Yeah.
I really needed Bill Cosby in this episode because all of these men, every single one of these men is a mess. Every one of them.
Yeah. It's like Bravo's continued attempt to turn America against black people. They're like, oh, these are the thought leaders of the African-American male community are saying. And then you have like these four idiots, one of whom is about to go to jail. One of whom is like foreclosed on. Another one has all sorts of rent scandals, and another one used to be a PA on Bravo. Like they're sitting here talking, and they're saying the stupidest things. Not that we're saying anything particularly smart on our podcast,
but we're not pretending to be smart. That was, you know, that's like the funny part of it. These guys are sitting there Well, first of all, Peter's trying to be the host, which was hilarious. He's filming in the bar that got foreclosed on with extras pretending to dance all around to make it look popular.
Yeah,
that's
that was
so
good.
Sad.
That's true.
The bar that his wife is paying for.
Yeah, I liked whoever said, I'm trying to pull up whoever said it, saying that it's like, basically like it's a terrible version of The View and Peter's trying to be Meredith Vieira.
Totally.
That's exactly what it was. You could see he was actually like angling for his, like a hosting gig or something like that.
Terrible. And he doesn't understand anything anybody's saying, and he can barely talk, and he's high off his ass. Yeah. Hey, yo, bro. What about the time your wife said that, bro? You know, you need to be calm, bro. You weren't saying the right thing to your wife, bro. I'm like, that's hilarious coming from you, since your argument is always to yell, scream, leave the house, and buy a Mercedes on your wife's credit card. Like, you have no room to bitch about anyone's reactions to their wife. You're horrible. What's wrong with Cynthia?
I don't know. I mean, I could barely follow this. I think I got 20 minutes into it. I really could not watch it because it was like this meandering conversation about nothing, where they were saying things that didn't mean anything. I forget what even at one point, I forget, Todd said something that made no sense, and then Peter like poked him and said, "That's a good point." I'm like, no, it was not a good point. It meant nothing at all. Todd is the smartest of all four of them. Todd is the one. I feel bad for him. I think he's getting dragged down into this mess.
Well, I was really enjoying Peter because he was so stupid. Everything Peter said was just so stupid. I was like, how uneducated can you be? And who are you to give advice? Don't you have like 20 children and 5 baby mamas? Please stop. Just please just don't ever talk again.
He's like, yeah, you know, the thing is, you know, if your woman isn't talking to you, you got to go get her. You got to like get her like a man or things like that. I'm just like, this is so stupid. This is so asinine right now.
And when Greg is the complete opposite. He's a total bitch for his wife, which is hilarious because his answer to everything is, you need to caress her. You need to hold her in your arm. Look her deeply into her eyes and say, baby, I cleaned your underwear with my teeth today, baby.
Well, I also, like, I think it was Peter who said, like, well, one thing that we have to remember is that, you know, all our wives, they all think they're independent women. And sometimes you just have to remind them that, like, we're in this together, baby. I'm like, no. You can just be, let them be independent women, and why don't you bring something to the table, and then you can be in it together.
Babe, you ain't no independent woman, babe. You're a codependent woman, okay? Let's get that straight, babe. Gross. He's so gross.
He's awful.
What else did I write of if I'd oh Greg's talking about how you need to basically kiss your wife's ass to make everything okay. And Peter goes offhandedly, if I did that, my wife would ask me what bill I wanted her to pay. I thought that is the most self-aware thing Peter said in the 3 years that we've seen him on our TVs.
By the way, in reference to the View comment, it was Nancy Deneen who said it, and she said, it's like The View, Peter is playing Barbara Walters. I just want to give proper credit to Nancy
Deneen.
Well,
let's hope he goes the same way as Wawa and leaves, because he's the worst. The best part of the whole thing for me, I know you had to quit watching it. I don't blame you, but I was desperate, and I was laughing at the whole thing. I really liked it. But my favorite part was when Greg was like, when my wife comes out of the shower, I'm there to dry her off with powder, and I powder her. What is happening? And this literally happens. You know this happens. It was making me so sad, but I was laughing so hard.
You know what, though? Greg is the smartest one, actually, of the bunch, because he's the only one who seems to realize where his meal ticket is and knows how to treat it.
Well, he's the only one who's lost it so far.
That's true, too.
You know, he wasn't this way before, you know, he was put on school lunches.
Yeah. Well, I also liked how when they talked about Apollo maybe going to jail, and he's like, well, maybe, I don't know, like, I showed up and, you know, they let me out within an hour and, you know, I don't know. I'm like, dude, you're going to jail. Stop acting. Like,
well, no one wants to go to jail, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to go. They just asked me a question, let me go.
And then the clips of Apollo Nida gave it up to the feds.
Yeah. And I like that, like, they started to maybe kind of ask him, like, so why did you do something so stupid? And he's like, well, you know, let's just say, you know, there's like a lot of chit chat, and you know, that's just it. It's like, what? And I also liked when they're like, well, we know Phaedra, and we know that like deep down she's on your side. She's got your back. I'm like, no, I don't think she will. I think she's gonna drop him as soon as she can.
Yeah, she'll be dropping him the second he's in jail and does not have access to microphones to testify against her.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye, Paulo. Yeah, he deserves it. He's really, really a jerk. That guy is just terrible. Everything that came out of his mouth was just embarrassing. Blech. Gross. But I love that Phaedra only uses him for sex. Like, even he basically says that Phaedra doesn't even speak to him. She won't look him in the eye, and she won't have anything to do with him, except she still wants to have sex 3 times a day.
You go, well, Phaedra. You know what? I don't blame her, because Apollo's hot.
Yeah, Apollo's hot, and his ass is going to be about as loose as the whole of the Grand Canyon by the time he's done in jail.
I was going to say Toya's tire coffee table. that's what, her coffee table is just going to be made of Apollo's ass.
Yeah, being hot in jail is not going to work out in your favor. Sirs!
Sorry, Apollo. I'm sure he's used to it. Remember, I mean, Lawrence did seem to know who he was very quickly a few seasons ago.
Oh, Lord, Miss Lawrence. So let's move on to New York.
Yes.
But New I would York. Like to say Real Housewives of Atlanta is officially done for the year, finally.
Yes.
It is wrong, Candy! Bye, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Finally done. Bye. I hope you return without Nene's stupid, horsey, moosey ass. Bye.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next up is Real Housewives of New York. Turning a page.
Whoa. Yeah. It sounded like there was a thump over there.
That was a page turn. It was a page that turned.
A violent page turn.
Violent.
Still loving this season. So entertaining to me. A lot of stuff happened on this episode, actually.
Well, it started with all the ladies hungover in bed, and Sonia woke up and said, oh, gosh, my face. And America said, yes, your face. Wow. Look at
you
that
know what?
Face.
I appreciated this scene because you could tell they really were hungover and sleeping in because none of them had their makeup in. Every other show, it's like Melissa Gorga's like, time to wake up. And she's like, like ice skater makeup on, you know?
Yeah.
But this time, these women were not made up. Their hair was messed up. This was them really waking up.
Sonia looks like Chloe Sevigny, like being drained of all of her fluids.
Like she's been put in a vacuum seal pack or whatever.
Yes. Her face is really turning into a disturbing creation. And it's kind of pretty and young looking, but not.
Something's going on with her lips. Her lips are really sticking out a lot these days.
Yes. And her nose is like longer or something. I think she's the only person I've ever seen like get stuff added to her nose.
She's sort of like ahead of the whole Pinocchio chic curve, so that's sort of what's happening.
She's like, I need my cheeks to be shaded.
She and Macklemore can hang out together.
Yeah, she's creepy.
So then they did yoga, and she had gas, which was fun. And then I think the first big thing was that the women all wanted to confront Ramona about her behavior, and so they concocted this hilarious plan. Where they're basically gonna like lock her into a banquette,
which totally worked.
It was amazing. It worked so well. I was surprised she didn't slide down under that table and get out of there. they were like, why'd you lie? Why'd you this? Blah, 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 blah. And Ramona, it was like a caged animal. It was amazing. She was going nuts. Her hair was flailing about. She was screaming. Her eyes were squinting.
She was holding the sides of her face. That was my favorite part. Like she was on
I'm
a roller coaster.
Attacked.
You're not. You're attacking me. I feel attacked. This is wrong. Why are you doing this to me? I told you my father abused. Why are you doing this to me? How could you do this to me? This is wrong. I don't like this.
It wasn't a lie. It was not a lie. Okay. You're attacking me right now. I'm feeling very attacked. I'm feeling attacked. Okay. I'm attacked.
Okay.
And I don't like how I feel. Okay.
That was amazing. And they actually got Ramona to say, well, okay, it was inappropriate of me. I felt terrible about myself, and that's why I left early. Even though that's a lie, too. She's obviously just saying that, because that's not why she left.
Well, so she seemed to be getting towards more of an honest place where she was like, well, I just wanted to get out of there. I didn't like it. Although, the truth is, she did clearly get her blowout so she could go to Molly Sims's party.
I love that Kristen said Molly Sims doesn't even know who she is. And I also love that Carol said,
Who's Molly Sims?
Who's Molly Sims? I'm like, really cool. I don't know who Molly Sims is.
Molly Dodd. Now that was a show.
Yeah, I remember Molly Dodd, the Days in Life stuff.
Molly, I miss you. She knows what it's like being a single widow, having sex with people.
I don't know if Molly Dodd's a widow. I'm just
I don't think I actually ever saw that show.
I hope I didn't just kill her husband in my
Days and Nights of Molly Dodd.
I never watched that show either. I remember that show being on and being like,
It was only on for one season, right, or two. I don't know.
I was perplexed by the whole situation.
It's crazy that like we both that you made a reference to it and then I knew like I was like right there with you.
You know what opened that can, right? Your reference to L.A. Law.
Yeah, sorry. I'm taking this back to NBC's heyday.
Yeah. We're going to have some NYPD Blue references coming right up, guys.
Except that is on ABC, and I just said NBC. So
I was sticking more with the 80s and 90s in general. Okay, thanks.
Let's somehow work ALF into this.
That was NBC.
That was NBC. Remember Amazing Stories?
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Remember the two teenagers who became magnetically attracted to each other, and he was like the jock and she was the nerd?
No. Mm-mm. I just remember really liking it.
Yeah.
I remember an Alfred Hitchcock Presents, or maybe this was, I don't remember if it was a new Alfred Hitchcock Presents or if it was Amazing Stories, but some guy's wife gets raped and they're coming home from the police station in the car and she's like, that's him, that's him. And so he gets out of the car and kills the guy in an alley, and then he gets back in the car and then his wife goes, it's him, it's him. And everyone she sees is the guy, and so the guy just killed the wrong guy who wasn't a rapist. Okay?
You know, I'm feeling very attacked. I never raped anyone, okay? So I don't think you should be coming at me like this with that hatchet, okay? I'm sorry.
So the rumors were that Ramona, and this I know from our Facebook page, rumors were that Ramona really left because she knew that her husband was in the Hamptons that weekend at said party fucking some 20-year-old. Which he was. So she got on a plane to go find him. And then in the scene we see with Ramona and her husband, who looks like he's totally over her and wondering why he ever married her in the first place, she says a couple of times in a row, I mean, look at our marriage. Our marriage is so strong. The blah, 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 blah. Because we have a strong marriage. Don't we, Mario? I'm like, oh, no. Poor thing. And
he's like, out of my way, dummy.
Yeah. He's like, I think Avery's here with her friends. I gotta go. Got a boner.
Yeah.
Well, that girl's pretty young. I mean, she was like 23 or something,
yeah,
no?
Real young. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She was like 5 years old. You guys.
I'm sorry. She's very young, okay? And my father was very young when he abused me. So when I see young people, I get very upset, okay? So I'm sorry, but I'm feeling very attacked right now. And I don't like banquettes. You know, my father, he had a table in the dining room, okay? I don't know if you had a table, but we had a table. So when I sit at a table, I get very nervous. So I'm sorry. I'm just very emotional right now.
Yeah, one time I was sitting in between my mother and my father, and I couldn't get out because I was sitting in between them, and there was no way for me to get out. And my father got mad at my mother, and he threw a green bean at her face. And so now I'm so afraid of things being thrown at my face that I throw things at people's faces, and I also don't eat green beans, okay?
Okay, I just don't like legumes very much, okay? That's just something that I have, something I deal with. I don't like them. I don't want to see them, okay? So when I'm around them, I want to leave. I don't care where I go, whether it happens to be, you know, if I go to the general store, if I go to a party where my husband may be cheating with someone and I have to take a plane there, so be it. I have to do it.
Okay.
Okay. So then after this big intervention, which did actually get to a semi-honest place, then we had a scene of Kristen with Josh, her husband, and they were doing some therapy for their daughter who is 17 months and not walking yet. And so she wanted Josh to be there because he's missed pretty much all the therapy sessions.
Is
and
that
she felt
a disease?
What, the walking thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I'm not buying that. Your baby does not have a disease when it's that young and can't walk. Give me
a break.
I don't think
she wasn't saying it had a disease, but
she's got it's a fucking physical therapy. You know, I didn't walk till I was two. No. I laid my ass down and I rolled. I wouldn't even crawl. I would roll. And my parents still make fun of me. And guess what? I still do it. Now, the fact that I've really made nothing of myself at this point in my life, I don't know if that had to do with me rolling around on the floor and never learning how to walk, but I don't think it's a disease, and I think it's silly that we're sitting here feeling sorry for some woman whose baby's not walking yet. I mean, that baby is little, and the reason she's really upset is because that baby is fat. I said it! There, I said it! The baby is fat!
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the timeline is for a baby, when a baby should walk, when it shouldn't walk. I don't really have any bones with the getting a therapist in there. But it was interesting because I actually was talking with our friend Lisa Timmons about this morning. My point of view was like, gosh, that guy Josh is such an asshole. Kristen is a nag for sure, but Josh is an asshole. But Lisa's point was more like, you know, he is not nice to her at all. That's not right. But she seems like a woman who has no idea how the working world works. And to take off 3 hours in the middle of the day is kind of like outrageous and it's crazy. So I understand that. I understand that it's a big deal to take out 3 hours of your day, but I kind of feel like he was still a dick about it. Like I agree with Kristen. If you're gonna take out that time, then just take it off
here's my general opinion on this couple, okay?
Yeah.
Women. When your man, and this is the same thing I was saying about that new girl, Shannon, on Real Housewives of Orange County, who I actually really like. But women, your husbands, if they hate you, and if they seem annoyed by you, and they don't want to be around you, and they're not coming home at night, it's usually because you're being an asshole. And here's my evidence. Shannon and Kristen. I mean, could you imagine having to listen to Kristen? I mean, just the amount that we've had to listen to her when someone's apologizing to her and she's like, no, but here's my point. Na-na-na-na. And you know what you did then? And then this. And why aren't you here for 3 hours? And then you can't do anything. And you don't do nothing. And he wakes up at 5 a.m. to be with his children for a couple of hours and get them ready so his wife with no fucking job can sleep in and not do it. He's not some lazy deadbeat husband. He's getting up, he's making an effort, and then he's going to make all the money while his deadbeat fucking wife does nothing all day. So I don't want to really hear it from Kristen that she's, poor her, she doesn't get enough attention. You know, I know that your whole life you've gotten attention because you're pretty, but now you're aging and you've got to actually get a personality and do something with yourself. And stop nagging all the time. No one wants to fucking hear it, lady. If your husband doesn't want to listen to you, you're talking too much. Shut up! Just be quiet!
But that being said, he is an asshole. Like, he is an asshole.
He has had to listen to her. I am on team asshole husband. He has had to listen to that mouth.
Listen, we'll get to her confrontation with Ramona later. But she is a nag for sure. And she needs to know when to sort of shut up. She's like sort of like a spoiled brat kind of. And I get that. But he really is an asshole too. He should have known this about her. I guess it's the same as that she should have known this about him. But he honestly, he talks down to her a lot. And he talks down to other people too. He talks down to everyone. And he's a real dick. There's a way, I understand that he did take out time, but there's a way to check your emails. There's a way to be engaged and to be supportive and all, you know, to do the work-life balance in that instance. And he was just being a total cock about it. It's like, I kind of agreed with the point that, like, if you're going to take off the time, at least, you know, spend half an hour focusing on it and then go check your emails and be like, hey, honey, give me 1 second. I want to just check my emails real quickly and then come back. You know, they're both assholes, I guess.
I think that that's true because, you know, she's sitting there nagging him the whole time in front of, you know, the therapist and starting arguments and shit in front of it's like she's such a drama queen. It's not the first time we've seen her try and start shit with him in public too, which is so awkward for everybody else. And I think that they're one of those Bickerson couples who gets off on it. Like, he's a dick and she finds that sexy, except when it's turned on her. And then he thinks it's funny that she's just like a helpless, defenseless woman who's like a dumb model and totally makes fun of that to her face. And that's fine. Like, you can have your, like, codependent relationship, but don't make me actually try and feel sorry for you because I don't. Sorry, babe. Sars. Mm-hmm. If you were anybody else, you'd be like Brandy Glanville and some broken-ass down lease in the Val trying to get people to write books for you to make a damn dollar to pay your rent. You're so lucky enough to have an ugly guy who loves you. So just stop your whining. You hit the jackpot.
Yeah, seriously.
Sersla.
I know. Sersla. So then after this really awkward moment with the therapist, then we went to a double date with Luann and Jacques and Carol and some, you know, DILF, this 52-year-old hot guy, right? And I was surprised at how bad of a date Carol was. She was terrible.
Well, it's because she's still trying to pretend she's 20.
Hey, you guys know, 20, you're supposed to come on the first date?
Like, yeah. Okay. Congratulations. You said something youthful. Guess what? Youth left like 60 years ago. Stop. Please stop.
I know. It was like a bad Jennifer Aniston impersonation of or something. She's just like, hey.
Jennifer Aniston is becoming a bad impression of Jennifer Aniston, those movies. I'm like, you're not 20 either. Shut up, Carol.
Hey, I heard one time that you're supposed to come on the first date.
Hey, I've been using a matchmaker. I know that makes me sound real young, right? Yeah. Hey.
This morning when I was churning butter, I was listening to the gramophone. And Will Rogers was talking about how you're supposed to come on the first date.
I hear the kids are really into the new kids on the block, because that's kind of what I am. I'm a new kid on the block, because I'm young Carol Radswell.
When I heard the first song that Amy Grant made that wasn't about Jesus, I came.
Baby, baby, I'm hitting the spot. Every heartbeat, there's your name, loud and clear. I just came. Next time I fall in love, I want it to be when I come on the first date.
Well, I thought it was so funny that she. Well, but
that's
it was funny slash that.
That's what first dates are for. Come on.
Oh.
Wait. There's more Amy Grant to be had. Wait.
He likes to drive like Mario Andretti. I like to come on the first date.
Give me the gift of coming.
Amy Grant. I will never forget my parents' disappointment when Amy Grant became a pop star. You guys, I will never forget it. My mom saw Amy Grant in some elevator in like a cabin things, like a ski lodge or something. And she was like, I saw Amy Grant. And I mean, she was with a man who wasn't her husband, but I'm sure they're just friends. And oh my gosh, she's so pretty. I love her. Ronnie, do you still have her tape? Because they bought me, like, Amy Grant music. Oh, my God. When Amy Grant became a pop star and then, like, left her husband for some other dude, right?
Didn't Vince Hill. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They're still not okay. I still can't say Amy Grant. My mom will be like, stop. You're doing that to make me upset, Ronnie. Stop it. Sorry, Mom.
I'm just still laughing that we just went on, like, an extended riff doing Carol Radswell voiced orgasm puns to Amy Grant songs. This is like a new level of this podcast has been out of control.
What I should have did was sing a Latoya. Love you with love and devotion, Eugene. That's what I should have did.
Peter, he loves Amy Grant, but you know, that's just like how he takes, like, you know, that's what he's dealing with since Frankie, you know?
Oh my God, Amy Grant, the only reason she did that thing with Vince Neil is because Peter was in an accident, you know? I mean, it changed everything, you know? That's when the Trade Center fell.
Peter, like, he punched Amy Grant in the crotch, but he only did that because he's just, you know, having a really hard time with Frankie, you know? And he thought that she was a taxi cab, so, you know, Peter.
Okay, I have to interrupt here to say, did you look at Twitter? Because Leah and I were tweeting each other about hanging out when she comes back here, because I said, we have to do a live show with you when you get here.
Yes.
We have to do a show with you.
I said, will it
be live? And I was like, hell yeah, bring Frida. So when she gets here, she's going to be here all summer. So you know that means she has to be like our third co-host for the whole summer. Because she's doing something. I haven't watched it yet, but she's doing like some kind of recap or opinion piece for OK Magazine, I guess. It's like a video vlog or whatever about her thoughts on The Housewives. So we have to get her on here to do it.
Yeah. And we should use her to wrangle some of her buddies like Lance Bass and whoever else.
and Lance Bass's hot husband. Yeah.
Turkey.
Turkey. Tarzan. Oh, Turkey. Yeah, Turkey. Turkey-zan. Tanzerkistan. Yeah. Okay, so that's enough. So I just wanted to tell you that because you must tweet her and get her on here, Benjamin. I need Leah Black.
How fun is that? Okay.
How fun is that? Okay. Afterwards, I'll invoice you.
Okay, so Heather goes. Oh yeah, so we're still on the date with
it was
Carol.
It was just one of those things where I thought that Carol would be a lot more self-possessed and smooth, and she was like such a disaster. And that guy was maybe it's because that guy was super hot, but like she was a total disaster.
I don't think she was a disaster. I mean, you and Luann agree. Well, 2 out of 3 Luanns agree.
Darling. That's my greatest compliment you could have given me.
I don't know that she was a disaster, really. Like, she was giggly and fun. He seemed to have
fun. She was
fun. I mean, that guy's
she was neurotic. She was like, am I saying too much? Am I talking too much? It was like, I don't know.
That guy's a 52-year-old waiter with brown teeth that nobody's ever heard of. So I think she did fine.
Yeah, I mean, she'll still probably get it in, you know, or have it get it put in.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be hearing about it.
Yeah. So then after that was
it
then
was
Heather.
It was like a sprinkler system. Indoors.
Oh, and I loved. Oh, can we talk about Luann helping her with her advice column on manners? Because that was amazing. Okay, kind of, she's like
I'm writing this article, and I'm supposed to be about manners. And I was trying to find your book on Amazon, but it's not sold there anymore. So I wanted to know what you thought.
And Luann's like, well, first of all, when you go to someone's house for a party, you should always bring something. Glad you called Luann. That is groundbreaking shit right there. Bring a bottle of wine, or, you know, if you bring flowers, they're going to have to work. So bring flowers in a vase, you know, or a candle. People love candles. Okay, thanks. You earned your paycheck, Luann. I hope they put you back on the credits.
Yeah.
But what else did she go into with Luann that got...
I don't really remember because... That scene, I actually dozed off in that scene.
Oh, then she was like, well, what about if you... She's like,
what if you've had sex with a guy? Okay, if you've had sex with a guy...
What was her question? She's like, if you have sex with a guy, are you supposed to... Is it bring him a gift? Yeah, she's like,
okay, if you're going to see a guy that you've had sex with, what are you supposed to bring him as a gift?
And Luann's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what you're supposed to bring. A massage? Carol's like,
well, okay, what if you haven't had sex with him?
She's like, a candle?
Luann? By the way, if someone brings me, I don't want candles. No one bring me a candle as a gift. I don't want them.
And if I've had sex with you and you're already I'm already hiring somebody else to touch you, that's not a good sign. Right?
Yeah.
Massage.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree.
But it was cute that they were talking. I kind of like them together, even though Luann's still getting in little digs everywhere she can, where she's like, I can't believe she's such a disaster at dating. Ooh.
She's like, I know who's not a disaster dating. It's Michelle Obama, who I am like, after all.
Okay, what else do we have here? How about the scene where Heather shows up and steals ice cream from a child? Who does that?
Oh, yes! I noticed that. Hey, Cashy, can I have, like, a lick? And then she's, like, holding it the rest of the scene. I'm like, hey, give that back. And thanks for, like, smearing lipstick all over that nice white ice cream cone, too.
No kidding. Someone who's worked with Diddy and probably has herpes. Get the fuck away from my child with your tongue, you creep.
Well, you know, now I know why she worked with Diddy. She's really hardcore. She steals ice cream from kids.
And she takes the G off words with ing. Oof, street. That is some street right there, girl. But, yeah, I love that
Cashy
grabbed the ice cream cone and then sat behind his mother so Heather couldn't get it again.
Yeah. But let's get to the big confrontation at the end, which was when Kristen and Ramona met. And Ramona had this very weird, like, bachelor moment where she stood up and presented, like, a bouquet of flowers as an apology. And was like, no, I just want you to know that what I did was inappropriate. I don't know why I did it. It was wrong. There's no reason for it. I sort of retaliated. It doesn't make it better, but this is just what I did, okay? And so I'm sorry. I was embarrassed all weekend. I was crying. I was feeling sick. And these are for you. And I hope you accept my apology, okay? And Kristen was like,
I don't think you know what it's like to have something thrown at your face. Why do you throw things at people's faces? Are you a drunk? Is it because you have a drinking problem? Because, I mean, I think you might need some therapy and some AA for throwing things in people's face. Because, frankly, it seems like an addiction at this point. It's something you really need to get on top of, Ramona.
She was being such a, oh, sorry, did you want me to do a Ramona voice?
Yeah, you initiated. I'm just following.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't want to do the Ramona voice, okay? Because it takes me to a very troubled place, okay? So all I can say is I'm sorry.
I was sitting in between my mother and my father, and we were having dinner, and I was talking, and my father hit my mother in the face with a green bean. And so I was like, what's this with the green beans all the time? My mother's always hitting in the face with green beans. And this time I was talking. And so I thought maybe it was my talking. And my father was like, oh my God, she's talking. And so he threw a green bean at my mother's face. And so now every time I hear myself talking, I don't want to talk anymore because it reminds me of a horrible time in my life in the woods.
Actually, Kristen, when I gave you those flowers, it was very important for me because I actually can't even look at flowers because this one time my dad said, look, there's a flower, and it was very painful for me and I don't like to think about it, okay? So when I give you these flowers, I want you to know I actually am trying to be a better person, okay?
Yeah, I tried to give you those flowers, and then you asked for some water to put those flowers in, and it reminded me of when I was a little girl in the Berkshires, and my father put me in the water because he was trying to teach me how to swim, and I didn't enjoy that because I was like, who are you to get me wet, Dad? Who are you to get me wet, Dad? And then I got really upset, and then so now I feel like you're trying to get on my nerves by asking someone to put things in water because I didn't like being put in water. Okay.
And like Kristen's just like, well, you're an alcoholic, obviously. I mean, who does that? Like, what do you do that? Why are you doing that for? Why are you giving me flowers? You just give flowers to people? Like, what flowers are for? You just took them out of the ground just like that? You've paid someone to go pull something out of the ground that's like from Earth. How can you do that?
You're a flower murderer, Ramona. You need to go to therapy. You need to see somebody or go to AA because you're obviously a drunk and you obviously hate me because you're old and I'm young. I mean, what the hell, Ramona? I was like, wow, Kristen.
Wine? Like you're already drinking wine? Like, how could you just be drinking wine before I even get here? Like, that's just so rude. Don't even think about anyone. Do you maybe have a problem? Do you even know how to do things? I mean, this is just crazy, Ramona.
Yeah, I think Kristen needs to watch some back seasons and see what happens with people who mess with Ramona.
Well, you know, the thing is this. I understand, actually, you know, when someone wrongs you and you have a lot of things you want to say and then they just are like, I'm just sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you kind of feel like, well, but I want you to hear how this affected me, and then you can say sorry, you know? And the way that Kristen's tone should have been more like, you know, I really appreciate you apologizing to me, you know, this is the way I felt, and, you know, it alarmed me, it makes me wonder this or that, and, you know, I just want you to know that when you do things like that, I can't help but think these things, and I think other people think them too.
Yeah,
and,
already too much.
Yeah, no, she would never be able to do it.
Yeah, well, and already too much from what you're saying. Like, if you were Kristen right now, I would have just got up and left. That's too much. Because Ramona did come in with a monologue. Well, like, she did give her, like, a big, long apology. It wasn't like, I'm sorry. It wasn't like a bitchy.
No, I know. It was. But you know what it was? I wouldn't necessarily advocate monologuing it the way I just did. I was just sort of trying to show the tone. Because what she should have done was had a conversation with Ramona and then tried to connect and then try to sort of, like, in a friendly way, truly illuminate a little bit more the things that alarmed Kristen out of this whole situation. But instead, she's just like, you just do that? You just throw things? Like, who do you think you are? You think you're a baseball player? I mean, who do they think they are? Just throwing balls at people? That's not nice.
I mean, what would you do if someone were a chef and you cut off their hands and they couldn't cook anymore, Ramona? I mean, that's basically what you did, Ramona. I mean, it's like basically taking a ballet dancer and then, like, cutting off all of her toes so she couldn't go on point. Ramona, I mean, that's basically what you did. You tried to rob me of my professional abilities and my humanity, Ramona. You need to go to therapy, Ramona, and AA, I think, because you're a drunk, crazy person, Ramona.
And then you should go to AAA, because you know what? I don't believe that you even have roadside insurance, and that's, like, really messed up.
Yeah, you need to go back to AAA and ask them why when you had a flat tire in the Berkshires that they sent a plane and how they got it there so fast, because I think you were planning on escaping, Ramona. Yeah, Kristen, so I don't like when people – like, I've liked Kristen so far. I think she's really funny, but I think it's always going to be difficult when you pick someone younger to come into a group where most of the people are older, you know, especially on a Housewives show. It's like setting up Ramona to hate her, which I don't mind. I like that Ramona hates her, but I don't like that this girl's just, like, making me on Ramona's side. I mean, Ramona is the worst, you guys.
Like Ramona being like, well, you know, I may be many things, but I don't think I'm a monster.
Yeah, like, she's like, I've been called a lot of things, but monster's not one. And Kristen's like, well, there's a first time for everything, Ramona.
Well, Kristen was right there. I was on Kristen's side on that case.
I do not think that Ramona's never been called a monster. I mean, maybe she's never heard the waiters when she leaves a restaurant. I mean, who goes to a restaurant and then when the waiter comes, goes, I don't think we're going to be here long enough to order. Bitch, you have sat here for 3 hours getting your makeup did in my section, and now you're going to leave and you're probably not even going to tip. Get the fuck out of here. Those people need to start filming on the sidewalk and that's it.
Yeah. No, Ramona, for Ramona to think that she's never been called a monster, isn't her nickname like Ramonster or something like that? I mean, she's been called a monster.
Like, it's like Kim. When will I talk about turtles?
Yeah.
The memory on these women.
Or what was the thing? Even just like a few episodes ago when Sonia and Ramona were talking and like, oh no, I'm sorry, it was Ramona and Heather were talking and Ramona says to Heather something like, you know what? I think you just talk too much. You just talk. You don't listen. And then Heather's like, well, I know that you think that I talk too much. She goes, I never said that. When did I ever say you talk too much? Something along those lines. Don't quote me directly.
So I suppose that according to the writers on this show, we're supposed to be all excited to see what's going to develop between the young one and the old one. But I'm already tired. I'm tired. They need to talk about something else. You know what I want to see? I want to see Mario screwing a 20-year-old and getting caught. Okay? If you didn't catch that, you failed, season. You have failed.
Seriously. Major fail. But in the meantime, I'm pretty hungry, Ronnie, so I think I need to bail out of this podcast.
How dare you? You do not just go whenever you want to go. I am looking up Nick Gregory right now on the internet.
The weatherman? Nick Gregory, the weatherman?
Nick Gregory, the guy that was fucking, or tried to make Carol come on the first date. I'm crying.
Oh, I'm thinking Nick Gregory, the weatherman from Fox 5 in New York City.
Well, that would have been a real career. But this guy does have a lot of Google images, and he's super cute. Maybe he has been in things. There's one where he looks really scary, but now he's cuter. I guess that's what happens on these shows. Okay, that's enough. Bye.
Wait, we have to plug our shows, plug our stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay, bye. You can find me, Ronnie Caram, on TrashTalkTV.com doing Survivor in 2 minutes. I'll be doing that until tomorrow, and then it's over forever, so come watch it. You can find me on Tumblr at TrashTalkTVRecaps.tumblr.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Ronnie Caram. And you can find me on Twitter for Trash Talk TV at Trash Tweet TV. You can find Benjamin at bsideblog.com, where he writes lovely food reviews and television recaps. And you can find all of his social media shenanigans being displayed at B-Side Blog. Everywhere. Instagram. Vine. Tumblr.
Pinterest. Wherever you want. And
the new one.
The new one. And also be sure to like this Facebook, our podcast Facebook page. Facebook.com/watchforcrappins and big shout out to some of our new listeners: Rachel Garrington Book, Fran Pagliari, Daniela Morizzi Lupton, Aubrey Klinger, Amanda Clay, Michelle Zabor Bauman, and Heather Schaffer. And there are many, many more, but those are the ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of noobs on here, and it was super fun reading all of your suggestions of things to talk about. I'm sorry I could not find a way to fit a show tune up in here today, but there's no show tune about coming on the first date. So sorry, maybe later. But loved reading all of these. I'm reading them right now and laughing. Oh, and also, what did I want to say? I forgot. God damn my brain. All right, I guess that's all. We'll hang up now.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye everyone.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.